we convene an early version of the Daily Flames Roundtable, and I'm warning both of you right now, we're a little short on time. So I'm going to take it up by talking about songs from the 80s, Derek, and eventually I'll let you two talk.
Perfect.
The opponent tonight is the Devils, but I want to skip ahead to the opponent tomorrow, the New York Rangers, because, fellas, and Pat, you've already been in on this, but, Derek, you got to weigh in. Very unprecedented. In a public statement today by the New York Rangers, who the Calgary Flames will play tomorrow, put it out, signed by Glenn Sather, the president, Jeff Gorton, the general manager. Part of it reads, "We began the process of reshaping our team this past summer when we traded for assets that we believe will help us in the years to come. As we approach the trade deadline later this month and into the summer, we will be focused on adding young competitive players that combine speed, skill, and character. This may mean we lose some familiar faces, guys we all care about and respect." Rebuilds are really interesting, but I've never seen a public declaration like this, Derek.
Very, very interesting. I had not read that or heard that. And I guess adds credence to what I was saying to Ryan Pinder this morning when I said, after watching the Rangers get beaten up by the Bruins 6-1 on home ice last night, I wondered if they might turn in from a team that's trying to contend for a playoff spot into a seller, because there are certainly some nice pieces on that team that I think they could move before the trade deadline on February 26th to get some of those types of players back. So anxious to see what the Rangers do and who they end up trading. But from a Flames perspective, there is one player on that roster in particular that I'd like to get my hands on if I was Brad Treleving, and his name is Michael Grabner. Grabner's having an excellent year. He's a right winger, right-handed shot. He can skate. So I think the Flames should have some interest in him, and I'm pretty sure they're not the only team that would.
I the whole thing is fascinating from a Rangers standpoint, because they make this declaration not 15 points out of the playoffs
and battling
with Arizona and Buffalo for the NHL seller. They make this declaration 3 points out of the playoffs, and I think that's maybe the most impressive part about it, is that they go and say this while they're still fighting for a playoff spot, and they basically say that, hey, you know what? Even though that we are still competitive right now, we think now is the time to make some moves to make us back to being a Stanley Cup contender in a few years' time. And that's what is unprecedented about it, certainly for that organization. And B, the public declaration, I think, is the craziest part. I mean, Rob, you and I, we ran into each other downtown today, and we were talking about it, but the only example that comes to mind is the Houston Astros, and they didn't even come out.
It was just more like that. Honesty about it, right? I don't think they ever did a public declaration.
And this is just kind of an unsolicited, hey, this is what we're going to be doing, so be prepared for it, which I think is really interesting as well, and especially, again, for that market. But I think it's what they need to do. That team, I don't look at them as a team that is A, you know, really going to be a factor in the playoffs this year, or B, looks like they're going to be that type of team anytime soon. A lot of their key players are aging. So I understand why they're doing it. I just find the public declaration fascinating.
I do too. So Derek, there's two different directions I go. First of all, in the room. This is all fine and well for the people that pay the freight. This is all fine and well to use Jay Feaster's term, intellectually honest. Okay, yeah, absolutely. But if you're inside that locker room, how do you make sense of this?
Yeah, you know what? I would probably have a hard time wrapping my head around that if I was inside of that dressing room and competing. Now, I didn't watch a lot of last night's game. I saw the highlights. But basically, they look like a fragile team from what I saw, a team that was fine when the game started. And then as soon as they face some adversity, basically, they just gave up. They collapsed. And the Bruins, who are a very, very good team, surprisingly good this season, just absolutely took that game over. But, boy, that would be tough. If you are a competitive guy in that room, that's probably not what you want to hear. And I guess you can handle it in a couple of different ways. You can pack up your tent and go home, or you can say, I'm going to prove the president of hockey operations wrong and show him that we can, you know, still stay in this race, even if he does trade some core pieces. So I'm anxious to see how the players respond to it. But I guess it can't get any worse than it did last night. That was an embarrassing loss to the Bruins. Let me ask you guys this question. Do you think the Rangers would have done this if, in the last few years, the Houston Astros hadn't done it, hadn't told their fans, listen, we're going to tear it down and build it back up, and then gone on to win a World Series?
Oh, I think this is a fascinating conversation.
My guess is no, because I think that made some impacts around professional sports. I think the fact that they came out, admitted it, and then won, I think people, okay, well, maybe this is the way to go about it. Now, it's not foolproof. Of course, it is one of those areas where, you know, there's plenty of teams. Take a look at the NHL. For every Pittsburgh and Chicago that tore down and rebuilt, there's Florida and Edmonton and
L.A.
And L.A. For the longest time.
Absolutely.
That tore down, tried to rebuild, and failed and failed and failed, right? So, but to that question, I don't know if there would have been a public declaration had Houston not done what they did.
See, Derek, one of the conversations we've been having while you've been out of town, not because you were out of town, but you've been out of town, was this thing that's going on in baseball. With the free agents, and one of the Players Association this week put out a statement saying you've got all of these teams that are aiming for to be bad. There are all these teams that are essentially just wanting to get bad to rebuild, and it's not good for the competitive nature of the game. I find this so fascinating, this intellectual honesty. Let me ask you a question. Do you, because you worked in the team side of things, Derek, I hate, and this is where I think I'm being a bit of a hypocrite because I like this. But I hate those public mea culpas by teams that don't make the playoffs at the end of the year. Oh, we're going to spend $50,000 and take a full-page ad out and tell you how great you are as fans, and we let you down, and we know we let you down, and next year we're going to be better. I hate that. I think it's a waste of time. I think it's intellectually dumbing down the product. But this, I don't mind.
You know what? I don't mind it as much in baseball as I do in hockey. I'm not a big fan of what the Rangers came out and said today because hockey's played a lot differently than baseball is. Baseball is more of an individual sport, where hockey, I mean, it's all about the team and putting the team ahead of yourself. And, you know, I kind of get why they did it. I just don't necessarily agree with it. And I guess we'll find out whether or not it works. And I'm not sure exactly what they're trying to accomplish here, if they're trying to motivate the team now or if they're trying to prepare their fan base for what's about to happen and what might be a tough stretch of, you know, 2 or 3 years while they do rebuild. But I just think it's tough in a sport where you have to be so competitive game in, game out, in a league that has more competitive balance now than it probably ever has. I just don't know if it's the right message to send to your team, especially, and to a lesser extent, your fans, because tickets at Madison Square Garden aren't cheap.
Nope.
Now, I'm not sure the Rangers are too worried about the financial side of things right now, although they probably are more worried than you'd think. It's all about making money in business, whether that business be oil or sports. So boy, I'm fascinated to see how this whole thing plays out. But I guess the Rangers have declared themselves sellers. So there's another team that's going to be letting some good players go between now and February 26th. And hopefully we get a trade here sometime soon to open up these floodgates.
The only thing I'll say about what the Rangers did today is that it does add a little pressure to them, you know, because all of a sudden we're going to trade players that were key to the organization.
Right.
And we're doing this for the singular goal to be a Stanley Cup contender once again.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, that does set expectations. Not to say that they don't have expectations to begin with, but now, you know, I think for some it'll be like, okay, this is what you're doing. We're going to bear with you, but you better bear some fruit. And so I do think that it adds a little pressure to the whole conversation. Now, there's probably pressure anyway. You're playing in one of the biggest markets in the world.
Right.
So I think there's pressure that is inherent with it. I just do think that by coming out and making a public declaration like that, I like it. I've got no problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it does add that little added more expectation to the whole conversation.
Well, and the other thing is, are they capable of doing it? Pat, you and I were at the draft in Chicago this year. The Rangers drafted in the first round for the first time since 2011.
Yep.
And they ended up with two picks in the first round, but they had not been in there. I'm just looking back at their drafts. You know, they've had one player in their last four drafts play a single game in the National Hockey League, and that's Chytil? Phillip?
Yes, I believe that is correct.
No, yeah. but am I saying his name right?
Chytil, I believe.
Chytil, sorry. Yes. You have to go all the way back to the 2013 draft. Anthony DeClaire and a couple other players. They don't. I mean, it's one thing to do it, But do you have the resources? Do you have the capability of following this?
Well, and they've had to go out and get players like Kreider and VC who were not drafted. They've had to go in free agents.
Yeah, that's another way of doing it.
But they haven't been able to use first rounders because they just haven't had any, Derek.
Yeah, they haven't. And this whole thing is interesting. And the fact that they've come out and publicly said it in a press release is, I think, even different than coming out and saying it in a media scrum or
absolutely.
In media availability of some form, putting it out there on paper for the world to circulate. It's going to be interesting to see how Rangers fans respond to this and whether or not they decide to keep buying tickets for games and keep buying those blue jerseys. So we'll see what happens here. The one thing you want to be careful of is that you don't go down the same road the Sabres did. I know it's different. The Sabres were tanking to try to get Connor McDavid, a generational player, still wound up with a pretty good one in Jack Eichel at number two. But I really believe that completely changed the culture of that team. And they've had a hard time kind of getting back to where they want to be because I think they created a bit of a losing environment inside of that dressing room. So if you're the Rangers, you have to be very careful that doesn't happen.
All right. We're going to let you go, pal. I know you got to get into Newark and get to the building. We'll hear from you in just about an hour and 40 minutes in Flames warm-up. Calgary and the Devils tonight. Derek, thanks for doing this.
All right, guys. We'll talk later.